Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, I'm going to have a wonderful guest who is the wife of an author of several books we'll be talking about this evening. Today is his birthday, as he has left us last year, and it is also my birthday, so I kind of thought it was fitting to be able to read some poems about love, honor, and peace, and being in the moment, and being able to connect with our hearts. So that is what we'll do today. Today my guest is Judy Mossavat. Her husband's name was Hossein Mossavat. The books we will be speaking about this evening are The Heart Whisperer, It's All About Love, and If I Hold You in My Teardrop. These are all about his books as he was a Sufi, and we were talking about how he engages in life, connects with the tender moments, and how it really brings you full circle of connection, why we're here in the first place. Judy, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
It's a pleasure for me to be with you. Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. So, Judy, what I wanted to do is to open up the show today, a poem, Where Your Sun Never Sets, and Darkness is a Place for Resting Private Souls, and Conversations Never Begin Nor End with Words. In a place, Sufis gather to celebrate love. Judy, don't you think that's a great start for today?
You can start anywhere, actually, with this poetry.
Yeah, I think the idea that he had a very tender heart, and I think he shared with his words how he could find his place in this world. I think so many times we're struggling trying to find a place in this world, and how do we connect? How does someone find us? And how do we touch hearts and souls, don't you think?
Yes. A lot of people are lost. And I think when you sit down with one of these books, it'll give you some help in that, some direction, a list.
Yeah. I think that sometimes when we turn around and we look back, we say, what are words all about? I know for myself, being able to write down several words over the past 10 years seems like I have an insurmountable amount of, you know, words on the computer. They're kind of scattered all around, and it just, it's almost like a glimpse of a moment in your mind. That's really what I call these words. And really what you did is you took those words that he had written down and you put them together in these books, yes?
And I tried to put them in an order. My heart dictated the order so that they would kind of tell a bit of a story.
Right. In his book, If I Hold You in My Teardrop, another poem,
yes,
I wanted to read is, I tried to write about loving. My pen would not write, could not find the right words. So I sat quietly and cried with a smile on my face. Don't you think sometimes there are no words when our heart wishes to speak?
Yes. That's the thing that he talks about quite a bit, that it's in silence that we experience love. The words don't matter. It's the feeling. It's the love.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it talks about it. Yeah.
I think sometimes we turn around and we want to say, what is love all about? And I think we get so stuck in, so mixed up, because it's still the concept of love is this thing that you can buy at the store, you can make sure you find it on the internet, and then you're engaged in it for the rest of your life. I think sometimes people say, what really isn't? Ooh, I found it. And boy, they want to sell their soul for it, right? So what I find also, too, don't you think, Judy, is that when we share these moments of words, sometimes all that other gibberish, you know, about love and romance and how we have to, you know, peg in the wheel, find our soulmates, all these other things, sometimes that doesn't even pertain to the exact moment of soul connection. Do you think that maybe he had that connection?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. As a matter of fact, there's a poem that is possibly my favorite that that he really loved too, and it gives you a sense of how he saw love.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to read that.
Yes, please.
Like two candles rushing to make the same flame, like the ocean waves rushing to meet the shore, like waterfalls free-falling to resemble the naked power of beauty, like a songbird saying, I'm singing my heart out for you, like night rushing to meet the sun to give birth to a new day. Tell me, is this not a tapestry of love, which is our home?
You know, I think that sometimes we have such a belief in what our life is about, and it's really about reflection of what others think of how we fit in. And
yes,
when really, if we're able to, I think, step back and say, what is life about, just as he did, was being able to connect to the world around you in such a totally different way, yes?
Yes, exactly. It's not, it's about people relating to people, but it's more than that, because it's about your heart, and your heart doesn't just relate to people. It relates to everything. And,
right.
Yeah.
Do you think that the heart connection is potentially what he really found and what he was trying to portray in all of his words?
Yes, absolutely. That's really what he was describing, what he was experiencing, what it's all about.
Mm-hmm. Judy, do you think you could share, many of our listeners might not be familiar with what a Sufi is. Could you share a little bit about that?
Well, it's kind of what we've been talking about. It's someone who doesn't communicate with words, who really communicates with his or her heart, who beyond all that. I wish he has several, he has a number of poems about Sufis.
Judy, can we share this poem that he wrote? He wrote Speak Poetry, Laugh,
yes,
from Where Joy is Made, Cry as Though Pearls Are Rolling Off Your Face, and Be Sad If Only You Didn't Love Enough. Don't you think that sometimes when we think about the heart, we always think about such external expressions of heart or love, when really what he's talking about is that internal core of your,
yes,
soul. It's almost,
yes,
like it's almost like I think of it as a little whirlwind inside of you that it just seems to rise up when you really engage with, you know, everything around you, don't you think?
Yes, exactly, exactly. He's trying to move away or help people to move away from, you know, the brick and mortar world,
right,
the physical world, really to move into their hearts and explode from there.
You know, when I received one of his books, it was Come Sit With My Heart. Immediately when I opened up the package and took out the book, I saw his eyes of his soul, as I call it. He has a very tender-looking, gentle, honest, exposed, vulnerable, compassionate, caring, all of the words that we're looking for in his photos that you have on the front of the book. And I think that's,
yes,
very important, because that really brings you into engagement in the first place. I think sometimes we feel that, as he said in this poem, love is a shockwave. It shakes every fiber that weaves our existence. You know, when I saw his picture, I said, And immediately to my mind came golden tendrils through the eons. And it almost felt like I was connected somehow, some way, to something about him. Don't you think that's the purpose of these books in the first place?
Yes. Yes. The photograph, well, he, you just take a photograph of him and you see into him, and he see, it's like he's seeing into you, and there is this connection that his poetry puts words to. And I just think it's very special.
Yes. You know, it was interesting. The other day, I was speaking with a guest, and I don't know what we were talking about, but, you know, I have so many, I have probably 100,000 photos, and out of them, very much about the life cycle of many things. And I would say to someone, they said to me, but that picture wasn't quite right. And I said, what wasn't quite right about it in your perception? And really, it was about, they said, oh, it was a little fuzzy, it was a little this, it was that. I said, that's the energy of the object that I create, that I get, you know, engaged with. And I think that that's important, because when we turn around, we say, when people are broken, do we see them? When people are in trouble, do we notice them? When people feel disheartened or lost, do we try to connect with them? And I think many times people will say no. They're only looking for the perfection of the people and the things. But I think in his poem about dewdrops will not discriminate which flower or leaf, which color or branch. And when you look at the morning dew, it is brilliantly beautiful. I think that's so very important, because can we look at all of life in all of its cycles and changes and brokenness and celebrate in everything from every second? Isn't that what it's truly about?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. He has so many ways of describing it. And there's a poem with the book that we talked about the last time, mm-hmm. but I don't have that with me now. But he does talk about not discriminating, because that's
right.
Not what it's about. That's not what it's about. And so it really speaks to our world, which is in such disarray, and, you know, there's so much turmoil, and I think it really says something to that, to help people to come together.
Today we discuss many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.
And also, Judy, you know, I found another poem in his book, It's All About Love. And
yes.
It says, when love whispers your name, if flowers send you fragrances, when spring water soothes your pain and morning dew cleanses your soul, you are living a life of a darvish. Do you think that sometimes when we speak about the word darvish, what we're really saying is someone who is becoming awakened, enlightened, connected, and trying to decloak themselves of this human existence to become one with, as we would say, with the universe, yes?
Yes. Well, not even becoming. That's somebody who accomplished that. And, yeah.
Do you think it has to come from inside? I think we already are. So by decloaking, I almost see decloaking as, you know, shedding that that armor that you carry, or releasing the cloak that you hide behind, or, you know, all of these things. And it's almost like it's like bringing, celebrating your awareness from inside of already being, because you already are, right?
Yes, exactly. There's a poem in All About Love where he uses both of those terms. It goes like this. What describes a Darvish or Sufi in one word is reflection. All that you reflect in a clear mirror is you, and the true nature of what you are inside emerges, and the mirror is the heart of the Darvish. Look for that mirror and emerge.
Mm. Yes. And it's truly, I think, do you think that sometimes we, over the decades, maybe have, as we've grown older, we find that, you know, there's, you grow young and you put on all of this armor to be seen in the world. You put even more to be celebrated in the world. And then as you become older, you try to release it because it no longer serves you. So in essence, people say, well, we should have come, I wish we had this when we were in our 20s. We knew all of this wisdom of our ages. When in essence, really, does a flower that already bloomed wide open, could it feel all of that love and honor from the sun if it was a bud? The answer is no. So what we've really described is, I think we as humans now are showing our cycle of our existence right now, just as it appears, and living it out, yes?
That's an interesting point. I think that's good. Yeah, it's like not each person, each person is a bud at first, but also all of us, you know, combined is a bud, and we're hoping to bloom. Yeah.
Right. You know, I think there's so much shame and guilt and so much right and wrong and all this other finger-pointing stuff in the world. I think that sometimes if we truly believe that it's a cycle, and that things will pass and they are all experiences and they all have just a moment, a glimpse, as we would say, like a cloud in the sky, we might not hold so hard onto them as like weighting us down. And we might be a little bit freer of life to create. You know, in other words, every morning you get up, you're not going to see the same cloud. You never have, you never will. And if we thought about that as our life, I think that a lot of times when you sit down and you read some of Hoysan's books, I think it's truly about saying, how can we connect or engage with a poem at a time? Really what we're talking about today is It's All About Love, that's one book. The Heart Whisperer is another. And the other is If I Hold You in My Teardrop. Each of these books are so chock full of poems that he has written, and they just bring you back into a moment of time. Sometimes we're looking for inspiration. We're looking for something to connect. We're looking for something to, quote, touch us. Well, maybe what we need to do is perhaps open from inside. Then we could just feel it from, you know, all in all of ourselves. Don't you think sometimes we look for it maybe in the, you know, that old story, you're looking for it in all the wrong places, right?
Yes, exactly, exactly. That's his main message. As I see it, that's his main message. You don't look outside for it. You look inside, because any person that you would look to for any kind of direction will redirect you back to your insides anyway, if they know what's really true.
Right. Yeah. And you know what's so interesting? If that, as love and just being in the moment is our main message, our main purpose, our main reason, look at all the ways we as humans are putting them into phrases and pictures, and we're trying to capture it and share it and bring it out there. But I think, don't you think sometimes the words and how we phrase them in the messages and stories is just as unique as the next person?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Everyone is unique. And everyone is in some ways the same, you know, in terms of what this life is all about.
Right.
And it's quite amazing. You kind of have to put your preconceptions aside. You have to put so many things aside And that's okay. That's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think all of those things are, as we said, you know, those little stickers, you know, if you were a Girl Scout, you wore that badge on it. It was like sticking all those labels on. It's sort of like now we're like, oh, man, you know, the less the better, you know. So we just want to shed and let go of all that stuff. Another wonderful poem I love is, "In stillness you can hear yourself. In stillness you can find true love. In stillness you can connect to the universe. Then you will understand what love is." And I think that sometimes we're now at the point of where people are saying, we need to save the earth. We need to help Mother Earth. We need to save the water, save the fish, save this, save that. Yes. When in essence, how did we lose that connection in the first place? I think that sometimes the losing of the connection and also trying to, quote, save is really that outside stuff again. If we truly felt it from our heart and our soul from within, there would be no question about all this dogma that we're talking and all this other stuff. It would just be part of our nature, don't you think?
Yes, I think American Indians are there. That's how
right.
their lives are. They're so connected to nature, and we could learn a lot from them that way. And it's sad that we aren't doing that.
Yeah, you know, it's we look at it, and I think someone has spoken to me recently, and they said, in Europe, it's not like it is in America. America is very much a product and consumer kind of life. And
mm-hmm.
maybe in other countries, they have different aspects of it. And I think really what we look at it, if we looked at the earth and we said, are we all supposed to be the same? When really we're looking at, again, another cycle. So in essence, across the earth, we've got many cycles. We've got many aspects of our good or bad or ugly or aspects of our being and our outward shining and what we're engaging in. And it depends upon where you live, how you're engaged in that, what you're learning from it, and then you move to the next cycle. So now if we as Americans have learned that, hey, we don't have to be like this anymore, we can change, we can be like Europeans, we can be like people in India, we could be people like on Hawaii, we could be, you know, just as well as a dolphin in the water. And if we start thinking that way, that in essence starts to bring us along a paradigm of learning about our heart and our soul and our spirit and the energy of the universe. I think sometimes we say, but I am this, I'm an American human being, and maybe not so. Maybe perhaps a little more journey time, and then you'll be able to understand conceptually what we're talking about today is about we're so much more than that, don't you think?
Yes. You put it very well.
I think sometimes we get stuck so much, and we get so ingrained with defining and definition that sometimes kind of, you know, brings us up. Another poem is, "A lover is a hunter. When prey is in sight, he gives its heart to become hunted. In the end, the hunter has become the hunted. The union is so complete, they are indistinguishable." And I think that's exactly what I was just talking about with the earth, is that as we see it, then we reverse it, and then we see the whole cycle of life within everything. Yes?
Yes. Yes, and like I was saying about the American Indians, they see people on the same level as nature, animals,
right.
trees, grass,
mm-hmm.
food. You know, everything is all on the same level. We're not above everything.
Right.
We see ourselves as above everything, so therefore we take advantage of things. We don't think of things as sacred.
Yeah.
And don't think of other people as sacred.
Yeah, I don't think there's any respect or any, you're right, as the word sacred too, as we, there is nothing there that we believe we live a silo existence only for our umpteen pleasure. I think that's where it almost comes out as. And I think sometimes it's just being able to be present in the moment. I think people are trying to find it when they're going to these spas and stuff, but that's still their own secular existence. It really isn't about all of the other stuff in the universe, yes?
Yeah. And actually, I have another poem I'd like to share from It's All About Love that has to do with what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Every birth is a gift to the world. Every smile is a light of the world.
Right.
And every loving heart is a source of this thing we call life.
Yeah, and it's just so...
Puts it all together.
Yeah, don't you think it's almost like... I've done this so many times, and I would say in the past several years or even decades, sometimes I find that words are useless to me. I almost just stand there with my arms out and my mouth hanging open going, ah, like, you know that old expression, ah, I don't know what to say, you know, nothing's coming out. Because
yeah.
There isn't anything to be able to verbalize all the time. I think sometimes just as you put your arms out, face to the sun, breathe in, that's all there is. There isn't anything else. All of that other stuff has been what we created a song and a dance and a story about. You know, I think to just plain, just for that split second, that truly is all there is, right?
Yes, and other people can get that too.
Yeah.
If you've got that and you're interacting with somebody, they can get that too.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the thing. It's so powerful and it's so true.
Yeah. Another poem he has is, this world has surprises for you every day. If you hold true to your soul and what is brewing inside of it, you will be a surprise to the world. And don't you think once you start opening things up, it's almost like, I say it's almost like opening up a container of glitter and you blow it into the air. Every day there's so much potential if you're willing to be able to take that breath. And I think if you do that, really, you each day and each moment, you sparkle like that. In other words, there's nothing that's already been created that's such a force. It's really upon your creation for the moment, right?
Yes, exactly. And whatever is created in the morning, in the moment, is unique.
Mm-hmm.
And is the way it's, we're talking about it sounds like, oh, it's all the same thing, but it's... There's something, it's never existed before.
Right.
Whatever that is has never existed before because it's totally present within you.
Right, and we could say these same words over and differently and everything. And until you hear the one moment of music to your ears, it has no purpose for you, but one moment you will, and it'll be all the purpose. Yes?
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
There's one comment, it says, a vast heart is my hermitage. Listening to an evening rain is my music. If one comes to visit and asks of the future, a tranquil heart is all I can offer. I think that almost takes me back to what I was just saying. There really is no words. It just is. Also, too, another one on another page in the book I'm talking about at this second is, if I hold you in my teardrop. It says, now that you know the difficulties of being human, will you say yes to the joys of life when they knock? And that's also
exactly
what we have shared, yes?
Yes, and I, they, all of the poems, and we could read the entire three books, and
yep,
they'd all be making the points that we're making. But this kind of pulls away and shows you even more about how connected we all are as a people.
Right.
I live in a one-story house, enough room to sit with friends, enough love to face the truth, and only one word to say yes at every corner. One light to see with, and every heart to make a symphony with. Yes, I live in a one-story house, which is the earth.
It's purest, loving, most cared about, most respected, and most honored form. And I think if we appreciate that and we're able to come to that, we might find ourselves shedding a whole lot more stuff that we believe might have been the power of one or the power of self, and say we are now in the existence of all. I think the existence of all and being almost all as we are, it almost just, you almost come to that point again where I just said there are no words. You almost just Cipher, Second, exactly. And Breathe. And
yes.
That silence is exactly that moment when it's almost like when you just tune into the hum of the universe, yes?
Yes, yes.
Well, Judy, it was such a pleasure to speak with you today. I think as you have put all these works together from your husband's writings, I think that what we find is that we are all connected. Sometimes we say, but I don't understand it. And the answer is you don't have to understand anything. You just have to write, breathe, note, you know, whatever it might be. Observe, engage,
yes.
Love or connect, right?
Yes, and I'm thinking the reason that we quoted so many poems here is because he's the one who needs to be speaking.
Mm-hmm.
He's so good at speaking about these things, and that's him being here. It's the only way he can be here now. And
right.
So it's he can say it better than I can.
Well, I think what we've done today is you and I are messengers to bring his soul forth. In
exactly.
other words, when people pass on, it's not about them leaving us and they're gone. It's truly about how can we engage in their energy of their soul to continue to be able to open other souls. And that's what we've done today, yes?
Yes, we have. Yes, we have.
You know, and as he says in the end of his book, he says, "You will never find me. If a tear drops by or a smile brushes your face or a song bursts out of your chest, you know I have come to visit." And I think that's very important because that's exactly what we have done. We've shared his moments, his heart, his soul, and his whispers, as we would say, right?
That's exactly it. That's exactly, and that's how he visits me.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's very wonderful.
And he says, "My life is a gift. My death is a bargain. When my time comes, nothing will remain but love."
Great. Well, Judy, it was such a pleasure to have you here today to share all his works. Putting them all together in these books is truly a gift to human nature, as we would say, and to be able to have others hear our words today. What we're doing is we're truly reflecting souls. We're being able to share our soul speaks. So I really thank you for sharing and to bringing all his works to us.
Thank you. It's such a pleasure to be able to share them. And the another book is coming out probably next year about his life.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful.
Yes.
Judy, do you have? Can you share with the listeners how we can find out more information about his works?
He named the website awinkforyourheart.com.
Very good. And you can go directly to that website and find out more information about all of these books that are now available. Judy,
yes.
I think as we share and close out today, I think I had one more that I wanted to read. It says, "It is insanely beautiful to surrender
yes.
your soul to love unlimited." And I think that's what we've done today. And we'd like to share that gift. Judy and I would like to share that with everyone. Yes?
Yes, absolutely. That's a good one to stop on. Yes.
Yes.
And to start for people to start on.
Yes.
We can end and start.
Well, Judy, it was such a pleasure to have you with us today. We so thank you for sharing with us.
Thank you for inviting me. I truly appreciate it. And so does Hossein.
Oh, yes. Well, thank you so much. If you'd like to find out more information about Hossein's Masavat books that we spoke about today with his wife, Judy, the books are It's All About Love, The Heart Whisperer, If I Hold You, In My Teardrop, please do check out the link on the bottom of today's show page and you go directly to his website. And unfortunately, he has passed last year, 2018, and his wife, Judy, has been able to graciously share with us his heart and soul through compiling these books, through sharing here on this radio show her heart and soul. And as we are actually engaged in his energy, we can feel energy of heart, of love, and of soul, and of peace. To check out the books. They are wonderful. There are hundreds and hundreds of poems that will be able to allow you to sit with yourself and be able to feel the energy of the moment. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. Until tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.